Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I recently started a spreadsheet to keep track of all my first dates this year. As if I don't have enough spreadsheets already. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator, a sex blogger, and I have two first dates this week. Well, do they count as first dates if I've already fucked both of them?
If you haven't been out on a date.
We haven't been on a date. It was just in a foursome. It's different.
That's totally different. It's a different dynamic.
Exactly. Okay, so I have two first dates this week.
That's really impressive. I'm excited for you.
I know. This is what happens when I quit my second job and work on freelance stuff, is I have free time.
Mm-hmm. For a social life.
I know. And blowjobs.
Oh, my God. A blowshell life. Am I right?
Yes.
Can I tell you about my first date spreadsheet?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I mean, I it's a formality whenever I ask you if I can tell you about a spreadsheet, because I know the answer is yes. But
right. Yeah, naturally.
So I was curious to see if there was any correlation between where I met someone and whether we had sex and whether that led to a second date and like whether all of those things were connected. So I made a spreadsheet that tracks all of that. And so my Tinder dates were likelier to lead to kissing and sex, but less likely to lead to a second date, which is like pretty self-explanatory. Like most people on there, I think, are in there for hookups, which like I say in my bio, I'm not there for hookups, and I'm not. I don't really enjoy them, but sometimes you just have sex with someone that's so bad that you're like, I wasn't intending this to be a one-off thing, but I do not want to see you or your dick again. Thank you very much, sir.
Yup.
Whereas I found OkCupid dates, it was more likely that we didn't have sex on the first date, or even that we didn't maybe kiss on the first date, but we were likelier to go on a second date, which is not to say that that panned out into relationship-y things very often, but it is interesting.
It is interesting. We're going to talk more about sex on the first date later, because I have feelings.
So many feelings.
Yes.
So today is about first dates, and wow, how have we not talked about this in over a year of dildorking it up?
I don't know, but I'm so excited.
Do you remember your first date?
I do. It was in, like, junior high when a boy, he asked, so there was, like, as there is in junior high, mm-hmm. like note passing and rumors that this boy was gonna like ask me out or something.
Ooh.
And he wound up like asking me out after class in front of like half the class. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then we went and saw a movie together.
Do you remember what movie?
I don't remember the name, but it was like some like teenage spy-ish movie where like the kids were sneaking into, you know, this big headquarters to steal the test so that they could get the right answers to pass or whatever, and it was this big like heist movie with teenagers.
Not Spy Kids, 'cause I was in junior high.
No, not Spy Kids. Spy Kids, they were actual spies. These were just dirtbags trying to steal the answers for a test.
Okay, that seems like a poor use of resources, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. It was more of a heist movie than, like, a spy movie.
But heist school, am I right?
That's a better name than it was called, I'm sure.
I'm so funny. So, what happened after the movie? Or, like, was there any action during the movie?
No, nothing happened, like, at all. Throughout
it was
the
a
duration
chase
of
test.
That night and the rest of everything else. And then junior high me broke up with him because he never held my hand or gave me hugs.
I mean, that's on brand for you.
Like, it's very off brand.
You would still break up with someone for that, so makes yes. perfect sense. It's a solid yeah. reason. I feel like junior high Bex probably brought it up too and was like, so we need to have a discussion about the level of physical intimacy in this relationship.
We need to talk about this.
I've been keeping Excuse a spreadsheet you. Of all the times we've gone on dates and all the times we've held hands. And let me tell you,
there
my
were
dude,
none of them.
The percentage is abysmal.
And then we were weirdly, like, we didn't go to the same school anymore, but we were in the same martial arts school for a while after that. And I, like, taught him for a while.
Wow. Because
I was an instructor.
Power exchange.
And it was, yeah. And, like, the power exchange thing, years later, I had a moment where I was like, huh, how about, no. But, yeah, so that was interesting. He also had the same name as my father, so that's weird.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't been out with someone who shares my dad's name yet, but I've gone out with a guy who has the same name as my brother, and I had to keep writing his last initial whenever I would journal about him, because it would just be too weird if I was like, yeah, so Max finger banged me last night. I'd be like, what? Like, I would just be flipping through my journal and have a second where I was like, no, what?
That definitely, I'm quite sure that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Did I repress something?
Like, as if I would have just forgotten about it and then read it in my diary. That's fucked up. Anyway, let's move the fuck on. My first date. I never really know how to define this. Because, like, this date, I didn't think was a date until actually, like, years later when I kind of looked back at it. But I was in grade 8, and this boy asked me out to, like, this group hang that was going on in Kensington Market, which is, like, a cool hipster area of Toronto. And him and his friends were photographers, and they were gonna, like, go around and take pictures in the market. And I was, like, interested in photography and also kind of had a crush on this guy. And so I went along to this group hang. And it was super awkward. Like, everybody was really nice, but they were just, like, photography nerds. And I was not, like, socially fluid enough to be able to navigate that well at that time. And I remember, like, we went to this Burger King and ordered our food, and we just had, like, fucking nothing to say to each other. And we sat down, and he said, this is exactly the kind of awkwardness I was hoping to avoid. And it was just, like, one of those things that just, like, makes it so much more awkward that you pointed out how awkward it was.
Yeah, like, there is a way to point out how awkward it is that's charming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he had sat down and went, well, this is awkward, what do you want to talk about, you know? Like,
I also feel that, like, the way he phrased it made me feel like it was my fault. And there are definitely ways to phrase it so it, like, centers on yourself, like, you're feeling awkward, and, like, that's a shortcoming of yourself. But he made me feel like he was blaming me for being super shy and awkward, and I was like, well, yeah. Well. And then he turned out to be gay, like, 10 years later. I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
Might explain why he was finding it awkward.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Good times. And yeah, there was, like, no kissing or anything of the sort on that date. I don't know if he conceptualized it quite as romantically as I did. So, let's talk about dates now. How do you like to ask someone out? Is that something that you do often?
I do like to be the person to ask people out, more than, like, to be asked out. Mm-hmm. Depending on the person, like, if there is I'm all about power dynamics. So if I'm in, like, or if I already feel very subby to this person, sometimes I'll, like them to ask me out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I like to ask people out, and I get weirdly offended when people ask me out first if I was planning on asking them out. I was like, hey, I was gonna do that. Excuse you. I was getting there. And it's stupid, but it's still like, I'm like, hey. And then when I do, I try to like, pick a thing that we've already talked about being, like, mutually excited about and be like, let's go do XYZ thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to put it in a context of something that could be fun.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm trying to get a hangout with someone that I'm, like, already friendly with.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to something like OkCupid or Tinder, where I'm just like, hey, let's meet up and grab a drink. Like, when do you wanna, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where that's a little bit more, like, I don't know. There is a built-in step where someone asks for a date in there. Like, mm-hmm. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm asking to hang out with someone who I'm friendly with and met at a party or whatever, I'll be like, hey, you know, we should hang out sometime. Let's go do XYZ and, mm-hmm. like, kind of give a thing. I know you're a big fan of saying, like, let's go on a date.
Yes. I mean, less so on online dating platforms, because, like you said, it's, like, built it's, in that yeah. you know that that's why you're there. But if it's someone I already know and they're asking me to do a thing, sometimes I'm not good at reading if they're asking me for friend reasons or romantic reasons. Like, especially since, like, our social circles are pretty, like, not heteronormative and... So there's not this, like, built-in assumption that if, for example, a man asks me out and I'm a woman, that it's definitely going to be romantic. I have a lot of, like, different gender friendships. So, yeah, I do like to be asked out specifically on a date with that word in there, because that gives me a better sense of what to expect.
See, I rarely use that word, but also when I ask people out, I'm not always sure if it's a friend thing or a romantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I'm like, hey, we met at a party. Let's hang out one-on-one. So I can see how I feel about this, and mm-hmm. we can see how, like, if there is any chemistry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just be like, hey, like, let's get some one-on-one time. Let's hang out, whatever. And then see where it goes, rather than already framing it as a date in advance, you know?
Right. The thing I think of with this is, like, one time there was this girl I knew through my improv team who was, like, an ex-girlfriend of a guy I had also dated. So, like, we had kind of bonded over that. And she asked me one time after practice if I wanted to go for coffee. And we went for coffee and had, like, a nice time just, like, chatting and, like, friendly, whatever. And then, like, months later, we were talking about that, and she casually mentioned, like, remember that time we went on a date? And I was honestly stunned. I was like, I didn't know that that was a date. Like, I knew she was queer, and I got the sense that she was maybe into me, but that was, like, such a not romantic hangout for me that I was really floored by that. So
yeah,
I felt like the rug had been pulled out from under me, so I do like when people are specific.
Yeah, that's super valid. I've definitely been on hangouts where I'm like, I still don't know if that was a date, but it was fun.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, like, if I'm the one initiating the hangout or whatever, and I decide, like, yeah, I kind of, like, this is gonna be a date, I do, like, when we're talking or whatever, I'll be deliberately flirty or, like, definitely... kind of control the energy of the environment and see if I can get it into a, like, very clearly date-like energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll, like, start flirting, and if they get flirty back, great. And if they don't, I'm like, okay, so these are friend hangs. Great, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of let it sit. But I feel like I'm better at dealing with that fluidity, like, in person, because a lot of times when I'm asking someone out, like, I'm texting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with that kind of fluidity in person, I think, a little bit better, and, like, kind of gauging someone's energy around things.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, again, in situations where I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is going to look like. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
In times where, like, I'm very clear that it is going to be a date, I'm less ambivalent about it, I guess.
Yeah, another time this backfired for me that I still feel guilty about to this day. I was hanging out with who I thought was a male friend of mine. I said that sentence weird, as if we're going to find out he's not male, but actually we're going to find out that he was not a friend, perhaps. we were hanging out, and I, like, made some, like, silly joke, and he was like, well, this is what happens when you date stoners, or something like that. And I was honestly shocked and kind of turned to him and was like, we're not dating. This isn't a date. Which, like, I think if I wasn't surprised, I would have been more tactful about that, but I was so surprised. And he was just like, yeah, you're right, this doesn't feel like a date. And he just rolled with it, which was good, to his credit.
Yeah.
But, like, God, yeah, it's awkward if both people are not on the same page about that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think kind of the solution to that is transparency in your language, but also in your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if something is on the cusp of, is this a date or isn't it, it's not a date.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, unless it is clearly and definitively a date to both people, which, to me, I think the signs of that are, like, really deliberate flirting or, like, physical touch and things like that. Like, those are the things that I look at and go, all right, this is a date. This mm-hmm. is a thing. And if it's not that, then, like, it's, you know, it's not a date. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's on you if you're not going to use the language, at least to, like, be deliberate about your intentions with those hangouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was led into, like, a year-long unrequited love thing because of a misunderstanding kind of like this. Like, it was like, he was telling me while we were out on these quite romantic dates, this is only casual and this is only fun and, like, don't catch feelings, but at the same time, like, being very, very flirty and, like, physically affectionate because he wanted to bang me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you really had, you do have to be clear. And, like, I could have dealt with that better, too, and could have, like, listened better to what he was saying and separated that from what he was doing. But it's hard to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell me about your best first dates and, like, what made them so good.
To be honest, like, a lot of my really great, like, relationships and hookups didn't come out of, like, first dates. They came out of weird other situations and things that never really had a formal, like, first date going out and doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any memories of, like, phenomenal first dates. What about you?
Yeah, I think my best first date, it was this guy I met on Tinder, and we went to a show at Comedy Bar, and then after the show, he was like, do you want to hang out and keep talking? And I did. He was, like, interesting and cute. So we talked at the bar a little bit, and we played, like, 20 questions where we just, like, asked each other questions about our childhood and stuff we liked and stuff. And then eventually the bar
was... I love playing 20 questions.
Yeah, it's a really good, like, icebreaker if you don't know what to talk about, because it gives you a way, like, a reason or an excuse to ask each other weird shit that you might be wondering about. And the bar closed, and we headed over to this, like, 24-hour McDonald's that's near there. And whenever I walk by there with a friend, I'm always like, I went on a first date at that McDonald's one time, and people always joke, they're like, oh, romantic. But, like, it actually was weirdly romantic. I remember he was, like, looking at my tights, and I was wearing these blue tights, and he was like, oh, I like your blue tights. Can I touch them? And I was, like, very weirdly turned on by this and let him touch my leg, and he just kind of, like, stroked my leg. And it was kind of, like, the first physical contact we'd really had all evening. And it was very sexy to me, and I had not intended on inviting him home. But when he did that, I was like, well, maybe do you want to, like, come over and, like, cuddle, which did not end up being just cuddling.
Naturally.
Yeah, and then the thing that sucks about that, though, is, like, that relationship was so awful. Like, that was a person who was so ill-suited to me in so many ways, but that first date, for some reason, was just really magical. I don't know if he was just, like, really good at pretending to be a good date. I don't know. I mean, he was an actor, so.
I mean, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think makes, like, a really good first date? Like,
I think, like, a fun activity is good, and I always like it to be a thing that you can talk if you want to, but also if you don't have anything to say to each other, you don't have to, which is why I like a comedy
yes.
show, because, like, you can talk before and after the show and at intermission, but if you find you don't actually like each other that much, you can also just leave immediately after the show, or you can stay, depending on how you're feeling. So I like that.
I like doing activities, too. Like, we have a board game cafe that I've brought people to,
mm-hmm.
And things like that, because it's unique and memorable, and even if they're boring, you're still playing board games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still a fallback, there's still a built-in thing for y'all to do together and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot.
I also think it's important that people show respect and good manners on a first date, because it is, like, a romantic equivalent of a job interview. So, like, be on time, be wearing, like, a nice, you know, occasion appropriate outfit, be polite, be clean, you know. I never understand people who, like, show up late for first dates or, like, are super unkempt, because I'm just like, you didn't want to make any effort, because I feel like if you're not putting any effort into the first date, you're going to put less and less effort into any subsequent hangouts that we have. So, like, I'm not really that interested.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, just any sort of attention to your presentation just shows you're excited to be there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to be, like, dressed up or whatever. I rarely get fancy, you know? But mm-hmm. I'm at least, like, I thought about my outfit before I put it on. And, like, I thought about what we're doing and planning that sort of thing.
Yeah. And like, I say occasion appropriate because I think that that's a sign of, like, someone's social intelligence. Because, like, for example, a guy on Tinder just invited me to go to a play with him. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. He has, like, an extra ticket to a play. And I feel like you dress a little bit fancier for the theater. Like, that's how I do it. You know, that's a different kind of first date outfit than I might wear to a first date at, like, a dive bar. But I would still put equal effort and thought into either of those outfits. It's just sort of like deciding what's more appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
I also think it's really important to ask people about themselves on a date. I'm laughing because this is so basic and yet so many men don't do it. I don't know about women. I don't date women a lot, so I can't really speak to that, but I've known so many men who are terrible conversationalists, and it's like, you just said something very interesting, but I don't have any response because you didn't ask me anything. Like, either in textual mediums or face-to-face, it's like, if you're not interested in me as a person, I don't really know why I'm here. So, which is another reason I love 20 questions, because, like, it makes them a good conversationalist automatically, unless they're, like, forgetting how the game works.
Yeah, I have a blog post I wrote that's 5 first date conversation starters. Mm-hmm. And I like to look back at that, actually. I wrote it for myself more than anything. And I like to look back at that before I go on dates and look back on, like, our conversations and our online dating profiles, if that's where I met them, or, like, social media profiles or whatever. And just spend, like, 10 minutes brainstorming, like, 6 or 7 different topics I can talk to them about or ask them about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in theory, all of those are going to be relatively long conversations, and I probably have brainstormed more than I need.
Yeah.
I have gone on dates where they gave me one word or one sentence answers to all of the things I asked, and mm-hmm. I was like, great, so we've blown through 7 questions in 20 minutes. Your turn. Like, what have you prepared? But for the most part, I don't type up questions. I mm-hmm. just, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know, we met at this event. I can ask them how they got to that event, who they knew there. Was it their first time at that event? What else did they do at that event? Did they mm-hmm. have fun there? Awesome. I can ask them. They mentioned their work, but I don't really know what they do, so I can ask them a little bit about that. And if they enjoy it, I can ask them about what they'd love to be doing if they could make money doing anything in the world. Like, what's their passion project?
Mm-hmm.
And people will talk about that for a little while. And I'll just kind of do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because my biggest anxiety going into first dates, maybe it's a sign of my arrogance, but I very rarely go into first dates like, oh God, they're gonna hate me. What if I say something stupid? And I think part of that is my arrogance, but part of that is also because, like, I'm fucking great.
yep.
But also, I think a big part of that is that I'm really good at not getting invested. Especially in first dates. And I put really low investment into online dating and into first dates and into things like that. Cause I'm fully like, well, if they don't like me, then I don't have to see them again. That was easy. Like, if they don't like me, I don't want to date them. So that's not so much my stress. My stress is more, oh my God, what if it's boring? What if I'm stuck there for 2.5 hours and I'm bored out of my mind? I don't have that much time. That would be such a waste.
Yeah.
Like, what if I run out of things to say? What if we're just awkwardly sitting there staring at each other? Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. A favorite first date question of mine is, like, if they have a passion or even a job that they do, something that they do, I like to ask them, how did they get into that? How did they become mm. interested in that? What was the route they took to get to that? Because that's usually, people can usually talk for a while about that, and then you get a sense of, like, what they're passionate about. And I always think it's attractive to watch people be passionate in any capacity. And if I'm not attracted to that, I'm probably not going to be attracted to them. So that's a good one. What you were saying also reminded me of this thing that this podcaster who I love, Justin McElroy, said. He was talking about, like, when you get stuck talking to a boring person at a party. And he said he likes to find something that they know a lot about, even if it's, like, not that interesting of a thing, and kind of, like, probe them for knowledge and learn something from them. Because then at least you feel like it's not a waste. Like, you've come away with some new knowledge about something. It reminds me of this time I was, like, I was drunk at a party one time, and this lady I didn't know started talking to me about improv. And I was, like, just drunk enough that I was, like, I'm going to explain the entirety of how improv works to you. I was, like, I hope she felt enriched by that conversation. And I'm so sorry that I talked for, like, 40 minutes about improv.
Yeah, I think I always love talking to people about their passions. It's actually when I give interviews at work for new employees, the first question I always ask is, tell me what you're passionate about. And it doesn't have to be the product we sell. It doesn't have to be anything related to the job. Tell me why you get up in the morning. And I've had people say things like, well, I don't know, because I have to. And like, I don't know, see my friends, I guess, and maybe go to the beach or whatever. I didn't hire that person. I think it's a really great question because, A, I want to really hear... I also wouldn't fuck that person. But I do want to hear their passions. And job interviews, in the same way as first dates, are super nerve-wracking. And the fastest way I feel to get someone to relax is to get them talking about something they're passionate about. Because if they're passionate about it, they're probably really comfortable with it, too. They know a lot about it. They're able to talk about it. In a way that's going to make them feel confident because they're doing well. They're explaining this thing that's going to make them happy because it's a thing that they enjoy and that will hopefully get them settled in and comfortable. And in job interviews, if they can't talk about what they're passionate well, what they're passionate about well, how can they sell product well? So the same idea. People are going to be at their best when they're talking about what they love.
Right. If you can't talk about what you're passionate about well, how the fuck are you gonna fuck me well, TBH?
I mean, also that, yeah. Like, so speaking how are you gonna dirty talk well?
Can we get into our discussion of sex on the first date? Because I know we have a lot of feelings about this.
Yes.
Sex on the first date, Bex. Thoughts?
Highly positive.
Why?
I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but if I don't fuck you on the first date, I don't know if I like you. And there are exceptions to that. Like, obviously I'm never gonna, like, barrel over someone's boundaries. If they have boundaries against sex on the first date, like, that's fine. It might mean we're not super compatible. But for me, I'm noticing more and more lately that, touch is, I guess, a really important love language for me, or at least really, important in how I bond with people. And if you're really good at touching me, either in sexy ways or just in, like, cuddly ways and hugging or, like, putting your arm around me while we're walking down the street or, like, whatever, it makes me bond and feel more bonded with you and feel way more attracted to you, just because I like the way you touch me. And that sounds sexier than I mean it to. So for me, I have been on first dates where there was, like, no touch and no flirting. And I was like, okay, this is boring. Like, is this even a date? What's going on? Like,
yeah.
And those are my worst first dates. The ones that don't end in at least some sort of makeouts or touch or something. I need, like, I need to know that we have that kind of chemistry for me to be interested in carving time out of my day to see you again.
Yeah.
But I know your opinions about sex on the first date are very different.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I disagree with you. I think people should do whatever feels right for them.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I've learned over time that sex on the first date tends to not be so great for me. It tends to be something I rush into impulsively, and it can make me view someone more positively than I otherwise might. Like, I like to take some time after a first date to, like, think about it and be like, did I actually like that person? Was I actually attracted to them? Did we have chemistry? Do I want to see them again? And then either I'm going to lose interest or my interest is going to grow. And it's sort of like when you're really, really hungry and you make food and you, like, don't wait until it's cooked all the way through and you just, like, shove it into your face and it's all, like, hot and not cooked properly, versus, like, if you actually take the time to, like, make it properly and, like, wait until it's ready to be eaten. Like, I find I enjoy sex more if I've had time to, like, want sex with that person and, like, think about it and fantasize about it and think about what I'd like them to do and build up an attraction around them. So now I think, like, 2 to 3 dates is probably my optimal amount of time before I'll have sex with someone, unless it's, like, explicitly a hookup and that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, see, that's interesting to me, because I talked about how, like, really good cuddles and touch and kind and things like that really help me build up connection, but I don't feel like it creates connection almost the way you talk about sex on the first date doing, where it, like, bonds you to them more than you're ready to be. For me, and, like, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that's kind of what I was hearing from that.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. Whereas for me, I find that after having sex with them on the first date, I will either be like, yes, okay, I like them. Like, that went well, that, like, I want them to touch me more. I like the way, you know, I want to cuddle them. I want to do all these things. Or I will be it will, like, get it out of my system. And I'll be like, okay, and I'm done. Like, and I'm bored now. And I get that way sometimes with people where it's like, that was fun, and I won the game, and now, like, I don't feel the need to do that again. And I would rather know that by the end of the first date, you know what I mean? Where it's like, that was, and, like, I don't mean to invalidate the experience. I mean, sometimes it's like, well, that sucked. But sometimes it's, like, a really nice, good experience, and, like, I have a lot of fun, and I don't feel the need to do that again. I don't feel drawn to them. I don't feel the need to hang out with them anymore. And, like, I want to know if I'm going to have that kind of drop off after hooking up with them. And maybe if I waited and hooked up with them later, I wouldn't get that. But at the same time, I feel like if I am feeling that way after the first date, then it's not really worth pursuing more of a relationship with them.
It's weird how sometimes you don't realize you're attracted to someone until after the first date. Like, this has happened to me very rarely, but, like, the time that I think about it most is, like, my most recent boyfriend. Our first date was, like, we went to Tell Me Something Good, the storytelling event, and it was very, like, not flirty. Like, I was not getting a flirty vibe from him at all, which he told me later he was, like, doing that on purpose because he didn't want to freak me out because we knew each other from the internet and he didn't want to make me uncomfortable. But then our second date, we went out for coffee, and it was, like, so flirty, and he was, like, smiling at me and, like, talking to me about kink stuff while we were playing Scrabble. And then at the end of that date, he was like, do you want to go do something else? And I couldn't stop thinking about sex. I was, like, very much into him, and I was like, I laughed when he said that, and he was like, well, I didn't mean that, but, like, my roommates are not home and my place is around the corner. And I was like, all right,
but, like, also
know.
That
let's go do that. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Sunny Megatron from American Sex, a podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fuck. Ooh, that's kind of a trashy first impression, isn't it? I'm so sorry. Okay. On American Sex, Ken Melvoin Berg and I explore our guests' deepest, darkest sexual secrets, hang-ups, fantasies, and victories. Each episode reminds us that in this fine country of ours, no matter our differences, we all want and deserve the same things. Freedom and happiness. And find American Sex on iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcast services, or at americansexpodcast.com.
Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. And this week we're talking about first dates. What's your fuck that?
My fuck that is people who, we talked about this a little bit already, but people who don't flirt on the first date, because, or on mm-hmm. dates in general, because it's just, like, are you not into me? Are you, like, it just, it feels like friend hangouts then, and I have no interest in, like, fucking you or making out with you after, and also I don't know how to segue into that. So, like, if you have any interest in hooking up with me at all, like, flirt with me so that I know that and so that I can. Because it's really hard to, like, mm-hmm. have not even, like, touched that person's arm or held their hand or, like, joked. Like, because I'll, like, we could be sitting across from each other on the table, and if I can, like, rest my hand on top of yours when I'm telling you a joke or something like that, like, to have no contact mm-hmm. like that and then be like, hey, so can I kiss you goodnight? Like, it comes out of almost nowhere. And it's really hard to make mm-hmm. that segue, and I'm just not gonna, even if you're super cute. So, like, flirt with me and kind of communicate with me that you're down and that this is a date and that you're into me and that, like, we should maybe do a thing at some point. Because otherwise it's not gonna happen, and mm-hmm. I'm probably not gonna go on another date with you. And, like, I get that it's scary, totally but, fair. Like, do it. What about you? What's your fuck that?
My fuck that is something I mentioned earlier, and it's when someone doesn't ask me about myself. This really pisses me off. I went on a date a couple months ago with this really cute Irish boy who I was really attracted to and thought was funny and entertaining, but he literally didn't ask me one thing about myself for our entire date. And I did go home with him afterwards and have sex with him, but then after that, like, the sex was so bad, and I was just thinking, like, I should not go home with people anymore if they haven't asked me anything about myself. Like, it made me feel like he wasn't interested in me, and then that attitude also seemed to extend to the sex we had. It was like a predictor of how much he was not going to be interested in finding out what makes me tick. And yeah, I should have just listened to
that. That reminds me. Yeah, that reminds me of the thing Suze wrote today.
Yeah,
about, I love that post. How to tell. Yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes. But it's one mm-hmm. of the things she talks about is how if they show no interest in you, they're probably going to show no interest in getting you off.
Yep, exactly. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is negotiation as flirting. So, like, when you get to that part, mm-hmm. either if you're, like, planning a sex date or you're getting towards, like, the part of the date where you start talking about, like, oh, where do our kinks line up and that sort of thing. And, like, you're talking mm-hmm. about sex in this kind very external way and, like, oh, these are the things I am into, not these are the things I want to do with you. But you're also both right. very clearly, like, filing stuff away. I love that because it's really, like, low pressure. It's it doesn't have to be like you're not sexting, you're not getting super intimate with someone yet, you're not like, it's not super high pressure, and it's fascinating. Like, I'm a sex nerd, I love talking about sex anyway, and I enjoy it with people I'm not attracted to sometimes, just like nerding out about kink and stuff. But with someone I am attracted to, it's so fun and such a fun way to kind of get into kind of a sexy space and like test the waters and see if y'all are compatible before moving on to like, hey, let's go back to my place kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
What about you? Yeah. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is alleyway makeouts. I had a friend say to me recently, he was like, so you're really into making out in alleys, huh? And I thought about it and I was like, I guess I am. It's just a thing I do a lot. But the thing I like about this is if you've been out having drinks with someone or having dinner or whatever, and then you get to the end of it and you get to that awkward moment sometimes where you're like, what do you want to do now? Do we want to go to somebody's house? Like, what? Where do we want to go from here? I like to suggest making out in like just a nearby alley because it's low pressure in the sense that you're not like traveling to someone's house to have sex, but it is a clearly set up like I want to be physically intimate with you in this way. So it's a nice thing if like I like someone and I want to kind of test the waters of physical attraction without committing necessarily to having sex with them. Like, I've definitely made out with someone in an alley and then been like, okay, we should go to your house and continue this. But then I've also had times when, like, the alley, it was just nice enough on its own, and maybe we're gonna hold off until next time to actually fuck. So I really like it. I think it's a fun middle ground.
Yeah. I also love the fact that my current apartment is right next to a street full of perfect first date places. It's so good, because if I like them, I'm literally like, oh, I live here. Like, one of them is in my building. There's, like, a sandwich and beer shop, like, in my apartment building. And I'm like, perfect, ideal. Also really good when I'm like, I don't know how much I like this person, but, like, I'll walk to the corner to meet them. Like, I guess I'll do that. I actually sent someone a text this week that was like, do you want to go get burgers with mac and cheese on them and other ridiculous greasy food that no one should have on a first date and then cuddle until we feel well enough to make out again later? And, like, anyone who doesn't say yes to that as a first date probably shouldn't date me.
It's excellent. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. We're so happy that you joined us on this. I was going to say this first date, but this is really more like a 54th date or however many it's been.
It is. We're going steady at this point.
I've been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
You can find my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm at bextalksex on Twitter and Instagram. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. This week, tweet at us with your favorite first date activity, your favorite place to go or thing to do or whatever on first dates. And then head over to your favorite podcast app where you can find us under the Dildorks. You can also rate and review us. It brings us to the top of the charts and makes us easier for other people to find us. Right now we are in the top 50, and I want to keep climbing, because now that I have access to these little, like, ranking... I always had access to these ranking boards, but I never, like, bothered to look for them. And now that I'm looking at them, I want to win. So, I'm going to continue to update you on that, and just help me win. Go just click the stars. Like, you have your phone out already. You're probably listening to us on it. Just click the little star thing and tell us how great we are. Feed my ego, please. You can also, if you would like to feed my ego with your wallet, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks to support our show. All that money goes towards our equipment and helping us go to conferences and visit each other and all kinds of fun things like that.
And we have some new people I want to thank who are new folks on board at our Patreon. I want to thank Richard, Rupert, The Pleasure Mechanics, and Meg. Thank you so much for being part of our Patreon team. It's really nice to feel supported by you folks, and we really appreciate it. I also want to say thank you to Protodome for doing our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. I just said that as if he wrote it specifically for us, which he did not, but, I mean, it might as well have been.
He did, he just didn't know.
Yeah. And thank you also to Amy Gardner, who did our logo. She's at starboots_ on Twitter. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. My stuff, you can find me at bextalksex.com for all my writing. I'm going to take that again, because I was like, my stuff, that's interesting. I do things on the internet. I wasn't expecting you to ask me. Gosh. Okay.
I think he has a crush on me.
Aw. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, me neither, but I don't know if our kids are compatible.
No. I mean, do you feel like killing him?
Like, not entirely, no.
I mean, I could, yeah, that could be fun, to be honest.
Can I be a submissive and also kill him? Can we think this through, or kink this through, as the case may be?
kill him exactly how he wants.
Accidentally kill him.
I'm not sure how good the audio on this mic is, but I kind of hope that you can pick up me in the distance just, like, scooping cat food and going, "Ugh! Stop being a dickhead!"
Cats are just dickheads. It's on brand for them.
Okay. Ugh. So, what?
I got a very bad OkCupid message.
Of course you did. I'm sorry. I don't get OkCupid messages anymore.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's because I'm trans.
I know. You transcended that period of your life.
I guess. Or everyone just hates me. Whatever. It's fine.
No. No one hates you. No one could hate you. You're a perfect being.
To be fair, I get less trash messages, so, like, it's fine. But also...
Well, my pet peeve right now is dudes who message me and are like, "You seem really cool. I'd love to get to know you. Let me know if you'd also like to get to know me." And I'm like, why don't you ask a question to commence a conversation? Like, what am I going to say?
Get to know me.
I'm going to come back with like, "Sure, I would like to get to know you. Let's have a conversation." Like, it's such a weird way of doing that.
Let's initiate getting to know protocol 743. Dash B.
First of all, tell me one thing about my profile that you liked, and then they disappear forever.
Yep.
Because they didn't read it.
And they can't possibly go back and read it now.
Oh, God, no. Who do you think they are? What do you think this is?
It's like people who fail open book tests.
Well, you want me to read this shit?
A lot of work, man. I don't know. Ooh.
I'll do better if I just guess. Just a wild guess. You seem really sexy and fun. Oh, yeah? What is that based on?
Show I bet you work. Like to laugh. Smile.
It literally says in my profile that I have a loud, obnoxious laugh. So, like, what was your first clue?
At least you're warning them in advance. I will laugh a lot, loudly.
I figured that was better than saying that I love to laugh, or that I laugh a lot, is saying I have an obnoxious laugh. I think that that's a bit of a slightly less on-the-nose way of saying that.
Yeah, and it's, like, your laugh isn't obnoxious, it's just loud and apparent.
I mean, I don't think my laugh's obnoxious, but I think it's one of those, like, self-deprecating things you say in an online dating profile. Yeah.
Yeah. That bitch at the show thought so, though.
Everyone in my life keeps talking to me about this. My mom keeps being like, "I just don't get it. Like, why did that happen?" And I'm like, "I don't know either.
I don't know."
That bitch.
All right, let's start recording. Okay. I mean, we've been recording. We have 10 minutes of bloopers.
They're not even good bloopers.
No, they're not. It's fine. We'll make more.
We'll bloop back around.
See, there's one.
Oh, God. Okay. Me every time we start the podcast. Oh, fuck.
We have to Jesus. Really do this. Here we go. Okay. This is a thing we do. We'll be right back.